Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSP call on the 14th of May 2013. On the audio bridge today, we have Edward Morris, Robin Gross, Amel Sadir, and Roy Gillespie. And on the Adobe Connect room, we have Marie-Laure Lemineur and Timothy Litt. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Robin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. This is the non-commercial stakeholder group open membership meeting for May 14th, 2013. And let me quickly go over the agenda that we've got scheduled. I'd like to switch the order of the two main items since the first. As previously listed, the first issue would be to go over the motions that the council is to vote on. However, since there are no councilors on our call at the moment, let's reverse the order and we'll come back to the motions that are on the agenda for the council meeting this week after we go through the other policy issues and comment periods. Anybody object to that switch? Okay, not hearing any. Let's see. The first policy issue that I wanted to talk about was the GAC communique and on safeguard advice. And there's been a lot of traffic on the mailing list about this issue. And Milton has drafted a statement and taken some other comments into consideration and done redrafts, and Avery and Kathy and others have provided input into the statement. So we've got a draft statement, and the end of the comment period is today, so it'll need to be filed today unless I can extend their comment period. So it's out on the list right now for the members of the policy committee to weigh in on whether or not to submit it. So far, all of the policy committee members that we've heard from have said to submit it, but there are a couple that we haven't heard from yet, so I'm still waiting a few more hours to see what further inputs we can get from the policy committee members. Were there any other comments on the GAC communique on the NCSG draft response? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Hi, Robin. It's Edward Morris. I just want to at least publicly commend Milton on the work he put in on it. I liked the first draft actually better than what we've done, but I think the his effort to bring everybody involved and to get a statement all could support, I think, was very commendable and very well done.
Great. Thanks, Ed. Yeah, I know it certainly isn't easy to get a statement that, you know, a membership as large and diverse as ours can agree to. So, indeed, that is a difficult task, and he's come a long way in finding language that most people can agree with. So, too bad he's not on this call, because we could say thank you to his face, but thank you, Milton, nonetheless. Did anyone else have anything to add on the GAC communique and the Beijing advice? Okay, not hearing anything, let's go on to the next issue, which is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, the ATRT. Again, that's another process that's very important for ICANN's overall accountability and transparency as an organization. There's a comment period that is open on this right now, and that comment period ends May 19th. And NCSG should be getting some statement in on that, and I believe Mary Wong's got the is holding the drafting pen on the ATRT draft statement for NCSG. So I hope we'll have a draft to consider on that issue in the next few days. I would also like to encourage individual members to post their own comments. There's a questionnaire that the team has sent around, and I think Avery's sent it around as well as a member of that team, and I think she's posted it to Twitter and to her Facebook page. So really all you have to do is fill out the questionnaire and provide some responses, and I think this is a very important process in terms of ICANN's overall accountability and transparency, so I hope we would get a number of individuals who would be willing to provide input and comment while this process is open. Was there anything that anyone wanted to add or any questions or concerns on this issue, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team?
Robin, may I speak?
Please, go ahead.
Just a quick comment to let you know, I don't know whether you're aware of it, but like 2 weeks ago, the team, the ATRT team, had the courtesy to invite all the candidates that had not been selected to the team to participate to an online meeting and ask our opinions and on any issues that we wanted to raise. So that's obviously I participated to the call, and I think it was nice then to have, to think of inviting the importunate candidates, just for the record.
Yeah, that is interesting to hear. So that was a good meeting, or it hasn't happened yet?
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I think I remember it was at the end of April.
Okay.
Roughly 2 weeks ago. It took place. Yeah, it was a good meeting. I mean, we were like four or five of us, plus the team, and each of us made some comments, and it was interesting. At the time, no comments had been submitted to ICANN on behalf of the community. It was roughly at the end of they extended the period of comments.
Yes.
And it was roughly at the end of the first period, and then they decided to extend it. It was right. This is when the call took place. Just to
right.
Let you know, just,
right. Yeah. No, I'm glad they extended it because, as I recall, the announcement for the request for comments came out just a couple of days before the Beijing meeting started, and so it was going to be very difficult for people to factor that into their immediately work plans for Beijing in that week. So it was kind of an unfortunate timing.
Yeah, that was timing. Part of the things we discussed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I really hope we can take advantage of that and get some comments in.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else on ATRT? Okay, not hearing any. The next issue is the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities document.
Yeah, that needed to go in yesterday, and nobody ever managed to follow up on it. So do we have support to put it in today?
I think so. I mean, I think we do. If we can get it in today, let's try to get it in today.
Does anyone know what the last version is?
Is it on your Etherpad?
I apologize. I just got swamped with other things and was hoping somebody else could pick some of those things up. But
I'm just trying to think where the existing draft lives, and I think it's the Etherpad. unless I'm...
I think it was last circulated by email.
Okay, email. Well, then I'm behind. To the PC list? Would that
I'm
be
trying
the
to
place?
Find it. I have zero idea because there are 30,000 different lists, and I'm stuck. I'm sorry. I'm sort of throwing up my hands because there's too much going on and not enough coordination, which is why I'd really hoped to get this out in Beijing while we were in the same place.
Right. Well, let's try to get it in today. I mean, is there something that I can do to help get it in today? I mean, I can send it, but I don't know what the existing draft is or...
Let's see. I'm looking at something that somebody redlined in I don't know. I think I have an email thread with a few people who had volunteered assistance in Beijing, and next steps on registrants' rights. Amen. All right. Well, while we're on the call, I'll try to form it into a document and circulate it now.
Oh, great. Okay.
To whom shall I circulate it?
The policy committee.
Okay.
And then we can get sign off on that today and get that submitted today. That'd be great. Do you need me to submit that, are you going to?
Great. It would be great.
Okay. The comment period.
Because I think we had basic agreement among everyone at NCSG.
Great. Okay. So we'll come back to that. And let's move on to the next issue, which is the NCSG request for reconsideration of the staff decision to expand the scope of the trademark clearinghouse. And first, I want to, again, thank Ed Morris, who did such a great job on the research and the drafting of this request. It was just really well done, and I'm really eager to see what kind of a response we get from the board on this. So that was filed by us on April 19th, and according to the rules, in the bylaws, the board governance committee has basically 30 days from when it is filed to make the recommendation to the entire board about how to handle the request, or if they think they need more time to say, we think we need more time and this is our plan for figuring it out. So I think we should know or have some kind of an idea of how board governance committee will recommend that the board handle the issue by the 19th or so of this month, or if they need more time, we should know that by then as well. So I haven't heard anything back from staff or anyone on this, but I expect we will by the 19th. And then basically once the board governance committee makes its recommendation to the entire board, they take that issue up on their next regularly scheduled board meeting. So I think we will have a pretty good sense within the next couple of months for how the board intends to handle this particular request. Did anybody have any comments or questions that they wanted to raise on this issue?
Hi, Robin. It's Ed Morris. First of all, thank you for the kind words. We should know by the end of this week what they're going to do. Literally, the 18th is Sunday, I believe. and assuming they're not going to be working weekends, they should communicate to us by Friday, I would think. And it's very rare for the board not to do what the BGC says. So I think we'll have a very good indication as to where they're at by Friday, I would hope.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think so, too. And I'm pretty eager. I'm really eager. I don't want to say I've got my hopes up, but geez, it looks pretty clear to me that they screwed up.
I do have a question, Robin. What if they don't respond in a timely manner? Where do we go from there?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, then they would, I guess, be in breach of their own bylaws.
Well, they already are. That's part of our reconsideration motion.
Right, but this would be a different part, the part that's supposed to handle how they deal with allegations of breaches in their bylaws. So, you know, maybe that would be the time to go to the Attorney General and say they're not following their bylaws.
Well, I've been working on that, so if we need to go that route, we're ready.
Great. Well, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Was there anything else anyone wanted to add on the request for reconsideration?
Yeah, Robin, this is Mary. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so as I said on the chat, the board is meeting in Amsterdam this week. And I haven't checked the agenda, but I'd be surprised if that's not at least a discussion item. And secondly, I was at the International Trademark Association meeting last week in Dallas, INTA, and there were a couple of new GTLD sessions. Stefan Van Gelder and others were there, Jeff Newman, so not just the lawyers from ITC, and our request actually came up in a public discussion.
Ah.
I think that so that was kind of interesting. We're getting a lot of attention about this, so thanks, Ed and Robin. I think one of the things that some of us then talked about after the session was what might the board do? So it's not even whether they address it in time, but what could they do? Because, as we all know, there's really two issues, right? There's the process issue, as in they didn't follow their own bylaws, and there's the substance issue, as in this is what they did. And there was a question as to whether the board might say, okay, so we didn't follow the rules exactly as written, but still not do anything about the substance. So in other words, oh, well, too bad, that's awful, next time we'll be more careful. And obviously there's nothing we can do about that, but, Amy Stathos from ICANN staff was there, and she was asked a question, and she was very careful not to make any commitment, obviously. But I think that there's a possibility, I suppose, to watch out for, that they might just focus on the process and not really change the substance, which wouldn't necessarily be what we wanted.
Right. And that's really interesting that you say that, because one of the things that I've been wondering in the back of my mind is, how is the board governance committee or another board member is going to make this determination as to whether or not the process was followed? And because they're really going to have to get into the nitty-gritty details and go back and look at what was in the new GTLD recommendations and what was in the STI report and what was in the IRT report. And I mean, there's just so much nitty-gritty details that I would be very surprised if individual board members are going to take it upon themselves to go look up the answers. They're probably going to rely upon ICANN staff lawyers to guide them in this. And the problem is these are the same people that recommended this path in the first place. And so now I suspect these are going to be the same people that will be advising the board on how to handle this request. So, I'm a little bit concerned that even if, like you say, they recognize a mistake was made, what are they going to do about it? And there's an awful lot of leeway in terms of what they can do about it, from what I can tell. So you know, where they're getting their advice from may very well be the same people who recommended they take this course of action in the first place. So that kind of concerns me a little bit. They weren't serving Kool-Aid at the INTA meeting, were they, Mary?
About this issue or about other things?
Oh, okay. Anything else on this request for reconsideration? Okay. All right, so the next issue on the agenda is the WHOIS developments, and it looks like there's a few things happening in WHOIS. There's a thick WHOIS PDP, a WHOIS survey working group, and then the Registry Services Expert Working Group, also known as WHOIS. So let's sort of start at the top, I guess, the thick WHOIS PDP. Amr, you're in this working group, is that right? Or following
yes,
this issue? Can you give us an update?
Sure. I'm here. Mary Laura is on the call, so is Roy. And all three of us are on this working group.
Oh, all three
and,
of you.
Yep, and we're also on the sub-team for data privacy and protections, which has wrapped up its work this last week. And, right now, the working group is subdivided into sub-teams to address the different issues that needed to be addressed according to the working group charter. And, I think most of the work done was on this sub-team for privacy and data protection. We just issued a statement on behalf of the sub-team. The whole sub-team issued a statement and circulated it this last week to the rest of the working group. I am personally happy with the statement. It basically covers what the jurisdictional issues might be on privacy in terms of transfer of WHOIS data across borders. And it does a pretty good decent picture on what the complications might be on WHOIS data at rest and in motion, in the advantages and disadvantages under both models, FIN and thick. And it's an 8-page report, and that covers the first 4 pages. The last 4 pages basically covers some of the concerns we have on legal issues. And Don Blumenthal did a pretty good job of drafting the statement. And if you like, I could share this to the rest of the NCSG mailing list just to get feedback from everybody else. I'm hesitant to say that it's a final statement until we actually, until the working group publishes it, but it looks like it's not going to change very substantively. And, I think most of the concerns that we addressed, at least from NCSG, have been reflected in the statement pretty well. And considering the folks we have to work with who have pretty strong opinions against privacy and WHOIS issues, I think it's still all right, I guess.
Great. Well, thanks to you and Roy and Mary for all the work you've done in that working group, those working groups, and getting those comments taken into account in the statement. I would say definitely go ahead and forward the draft to the entire mailing list just to see if there's any additional feedback or ideas that could come, if maybe they could be incorporated if there's time.
Okay, sure. There are other issues being discussed in the work group. To be honest, I'm not following them very closely. So if Roy or Mary Laura has any comments on those or anything that I have missed on the topic of privacy and data protection, please go ahead and speak up. Thanks.
Thank you. Was there Roy, Mary, did you want to add anything else to the WHOIS issue?
Hello, Robin. This is Roy.
Roy, welcome. Please, go ahead.
I agree with 100% with Amar. This was a very tense discussions that we had in the subgroup. But I am also very happy with the final result. I'm still a little bit tense because the full working group has not adopted that document, and so we'll have to maybe nudge them a little bit for the next couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, today that document is going to be discussed beginning at 10, so we might have to jump a little bit out of this call. There are other issues being discussed in the working group, but this is the one that is going to be keeping our attention for sure today and next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Robin. This is Amr again.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I just thought it might be interesting to mention some of the dynamics of who we were working with on the sub-team. And like Roy said, we did have pretty lengthy debates on this issue. But it was, I guess it was pretty cool that we had three folks from NCSG on the sub-team. We had some people from the registry stakeholder group and Steve from the IPC and a few folks from at large. And although we initially did have a lot of disagreements, I thought it was pretty interesting the way they all generally, accepted what our concerns are, and were very helpful in incorporating the language that we felt comfortable with into the statement by the sub-team. So I was surprisingly pleased with the results of the sub-team. And I'll circulate the documents to the list, and you guys can take a look and let me know what you think. Thanks.
Great, thank you. And
add something?
Please do.
Sorry. It's just part of the reason why I think we did a good job is because also of Don's Blumenthal leadership, I think, and his leadership. I think he has done quite a good job trying to put together all the opinions and the comments.
Yeah, absolutely. I second that.
Me too.
That's great. Well, I'm really happy to hear that working group has worked out so well, and it helps when you've got a good leader like that, for sure.
Robin, don't get me wrong. The working group is going to probably recommend transition to Thick Who Is. it's just that our concerns will be on the record in great detail, I think.
Okay.
But the working group will definitely move ahead and recommend Thick Who Is. I think that was pretty unavoidable from the get-go.
Wendy, and thank you for all of the work. Sometimes the work results in making a record of concerns that can be brought up later, and that's also important since the Who Is debate, we know, continues in many venues at once.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy, and thank you for attending the working group meeting in Beijing. That was really great, and I think you made a really good point of really putting NCSG principles out there on what our concerns are on Who Is policy. So thanks for that.
Good team.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all. Anything else on Who Is right now?
Well, Robin, this is Omar again.
Yes.
I wanted to also, it's not on the agenda, but there was the webinar on April 24th on the WHO's review team's recommendations and the implementation of the recommendations. I just wanted to mention one thing that I found to be concerning, a bit troublesome on that webinar, is that part of the recommendations, I believe, is that there's going to be some sort of web portal where WHO services can be accessed from. And the language that the presenters were using when describing this portal was a bit vague, and so I asked for some clarification. And it seems that there still will be a decision made on how this portal is going to run, whether it's going to simply be an interface to WHO is databases, just in terms of a service, or whether there would actually be a centralized repository or database that would contain all Who Is data that this web portal will access. My understanding is that this has not been decided yet, and my understanding is that it probably won't be until the expert working group finishes up their work, and the predictions they stated then were that the expert working group will probably not end their work until the end of this year. So it's just something I thought was worth sharing. I thought it was a bit troublesome. Thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. That's an interesting point. So the thought is that the expert working group may make a recommendation on where that data would reside and how it would be accessed?
I think they just wanted to take into consideration what the recommendations of the expert working group would be before they move ahead with their implementation plan in general, not just concerning this topic.
And when you say when they will take it into consideration...
I can't staff. We're talking about implementation here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't staff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Were you able to get those different use case scenarios over to Stephanie Perrin?
I have not yet. I'm sorry, those are late. I have finals going on right now, and I've been a bit busy with those. But I hope to go ahead and get those done within the next 2 weeks. Would that be okay, or is that?
Well, I'm not
gonna...
what her timeline is.
I wanted to ask about that actually.
Yeah, so I can find. Let me find out. Let me talk with her a little bit further and see what kind of time frame she's on, and then we can get those over to her.
All right. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Anything else on Whois? Anyone? Okay. The next issue was the special privileges for the Red Cross and Olympic Committee, IGOs, INGOs, that working group. I think that working group is coming to try to reach some kind of a consensus. Mary, are you still on the call? Can you have you been following what's been happening in this working group? And can maybe update us on this?
You know what? I'm still on the call, and as you probably know, there's been quite a lot happening. I've been struggling to keep up with it a little bit. I'm also in finals hell. I'm on the grading side rather than the taking of exams. So there's been a document that summarizes various positions, and we've been asked to take a look at it and either represent our personal view or we have timed the views of our group. So Avi and I have been sort of talking off and on, and you know, we don't quite know where things are going to go up. I think a lot depends on the next couple of calls. There may or may not be a call tomorrow. It really depends on how many responses we receive. Quite clearly, as you say, the group needs to wrap up its work. The chair would like us to wrap up our work. So the question really is what we really say, as in whether we go into the deep details about things or whether we make certain detailed recommendations and leave others out there. One clear thing, I think some folks know this from the past call, is that you know the IOC and the Red Cross is one issue as we see it. Then there's you know, other international government organizations or IGOs, where those groups are relatively easy to find some sort of basis for protection, should you want that. The difficult group are the international non-governmental organizations, the INGOs, because, you know, despite trying for months, the group hasn't been able to come up with a set of really objective criteria to say why they're protected, who's not. So the NGOs are fighting this really hard, and recently there's been one or two interesting suggestions, but as of yesterday, they also wrote a letter to the GAC and the ICANN board, which obviously from a process perspective is disturbing. I don't know that that letter is necessarily going to change what the working group will do, but that's sort of where we are. So I think we're probably going to have recommendations on the IOCRC and on the IGOs generally. They may involve some sort of clearinghouse type of mechanism. the INGOs is the sticking point right now. So that's where we are.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, I haven't been able to follow what's been happening in that working group in any detail at all in the last couple of weeks. So thanks to you and Avery for keeping up on that and getting some statements in on this draft position. I really appreciate that. Was there anything else anybody wanted to add on this issue? The special privileges for the Red Cross, Olympic Committee, IGOs, INGOs. Okay, not hearing any. We can move on to the next issue, which is the proposed registrar accreditation agreement and the comment period. There's a few comment periods that are open. So I think this is the one we were talking about earlier. And Wendy, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where we would get our comment on the registrant rights and responsibilities document in, because this comment period ends today. So,
yes, that is my proposal, and I have just finished edits to a document that I will send around.
Great. Okay, so we will get this in today. And, okay, then the next issue on the agenda is the proposed final new GTLD registry agreement, and there is a public comment period that is open now until May 20th, and then a reply period after that. Did we get comments in on the registry agreement? Are we working on comments? For some reason, I'm thinking that we did some. Let me just look quickly. No, I don't see any here at all. Okay, so we should probably find someone who's very interested in the registry agreement and the new GTLD registry agreement and wants to think about doing some comments. Any volunteers or any suggestions for that? We can take it to the mailing list also. Okay, not hearing any. I will do that. Take it to the mailing list. Yes, please, go ahead.
Sorry, Mary. This is Mary. I'm not volunteering to do it because of the time, but I think there's stuff in there that whether or not we do a comment, I guess the group probably needs some guidance through some of the new changes, especially when it pertains to parts where the GEC advice to the communique might be at least partially addressed. It would be nice if we got a comment on it, but if not, I think we should at least have some clarity on whether that really is true, because someone might know better than I, but there's been some talk that some of that death advice might be, at least the harm may be somewhat deflated by some of the latest provisions in the registry agreement. I just haven't looked at it enough to have any answer about that.
Interesting. Yeah, it looks like John Nevitt submitted some comments on this subject. They might be worth taking a look at. He's probably thought about it from that perspective. Some of these other comments that others in the community have already submitted. Anything else on the registry agreement? Okay, not hearing any. The other issue is the locking of a domain name subject to a UDRP proceeding, and the initial report that the GNSO put out, there's a public comment period. The comment period, the initial one, has ended April 26th, but the reply comment period is open right now until May 17th, towards the end of this week. So if there's anything that we needed to say on this, we've got a couple days left to say it. Did anyone have any thoughts on this initial report or comments that we may want to put in on the subject? UDRP domain name locking. Okay, not hearing any. We can move on. Okay, so now let's go to the beginning of the agenda. Since we've got some counselors on the line now, we can talk about some of the motions that we are to vote on Thursday. So the first motion that is up for a council vote Thursday is a motion to address the final issue report on the uniformity of reporting. There was a final issues report that was presented to the council in Beijing, and now the council is considering a motion to form a non-PDP working group to consider additional methods for collecting necessary metrics and reporting from contracted parties and other external resources to aid in the policy development process. Okay, so this is sort of the nuts and bolts of this motion. Do we have any thoughts on how we feel about this, how we want to vote this week? Counselors in particular, but please, any members should voice their views. Anyone know how we should vote? Well, my recommendation is, unless, you know, there's a compelling reason to vote for something, vote against it. So, not hearing any compelling reasons to vote for this, I guess I would suggest not to, unless somebody says we should. So the next, I guess we can move on to the next issue and the motion on the council agenda, which is a motion to adopt a revised policy.
Just a moment. I'm sorry. It took me a long time to find the page.
Oh,
and,
sure.
So the resolution is not to initiate a PDP and in motion one, and to charter a non-PDP working group for collecting metrics. I think we might make a friendly amendment to collect the metrics, not to aid policy development process, but to aid investigation, since we're not starting a policy development process. But beyond that, it seems harmless.
Okay. Okay. So we could just make a friendly amendment to aid the investigation.
Right, in the final sentence of the final resolved.
Sounds good.
I'll propose that on a list.
Great, thank you. Anything else on that? Anyone? Okay, then let's go on to the second motion up for a vote, which is to adopt a revised policy development process manual incorporating modifications to include the suspension of a PDP. Okay, so the GNSO Council will now consider a motion to adopt the revised GNSO operating procedures. I think this one is pretty straightforward and just an updating of the procedures, and there's nothing too troublesome about this, but I could certainly be corrected on that. Anyone have any thoughts on this motion?
It permits the suspension of a PDP.
Right.
For significant cause upon a motion that passes with supermajority vote. Since supermajority could terminate, I think already, I don't see harm to permitting a supermajority to suspend. I could be proven wrong by gaming of this system later, but for the moment, I see it as
right.
Acceptable.
Okay.
Hi, Robin. This is Amar. I don't think there is anything really worrisome about this motion. This was a recommendation from the Standing Committee on Improvements and Implementations. I was appointed by the NCUC Executive Committee to this committee a couple of months ago, but I think they had already wrapped up most of the work on this issue. And it seems like a pretty straightforward recommendation. I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. And the recommendation is that council can suspend a PDP under certain circumstances. A few examples are provided. I don't think it's really much of a problem.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that's where I am too, where I've come to as well. So I guess I would recommend we vote yes on this motion. Any other thoughts on this? Different ideas? Similar? Okay, not hearing any. I think we can move on to the next motion for a vote on Thursday, which is a motion to initiate a policy development process on the translation and transliteration of contact information. So there was a final issues report that recommended the council should initiate a PDP. And apparently commission a study on the commercial feasibility of translation and transliteration systems for internationalized contact data, which is expected to help inform the PDP working group in its deliberations. So the council is now expected to consider whether or not to initiate a PDP on this issue. Any thoughts, suggestions on this motion?
Robin, this is Amar again. I thought this was going to be voted on whether this PDP would be postponed until the WHOIS expert working group complete their work. Am I wrong?
Well, it would. I don't see anything about a postponement in here. Let me look.
That would make sense. I don't see anything on that either.
Let me look a little more closely at the wording here.
It has not yet been seconded.
Yeah, I thought this came up a while back, and that the issue was whether to postpone this PDP until the expert working group completed and gave in their recommendations or not, but I might be mistaken.
I think that would be a fine suggestion for counselors to make.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that this is, you know, one of these motions that we, you know, they're just going to keep bringing back until they get it passed. And so being aware of that and having a strategy for dealing with it, like postponing it until the expert working group makes a recommendation on it, does indeed sound like the right approach.
So, Amar, you prompted me to go back and look at the final issue report where 1.7 has staff recommending that GNSO Council should initiate a PDP but should delay the next step in the PDP process, formation of a drafting team. It doesn't say until when the that should be delayed. But the motion itself doesn't seem to say that. So it would be at least worth amending this motion if we thought that were the right step, to say, as recommended in the report, we propose to initiate the PDP but postpone the drafting team until whatever point we thought that was useful for that.
Until the expert working group makes its recommendation, is that the point we would request postponement until? Or do we not need to give that level of detail?
I think it would be more useful to give a...
Okay. Okay, that sounds like a good strategy for this motion. Any other thoughts on this one? And it looks like this is the last motion on the council agenda for a vote on Thursday, so that's good.
Robin, Maria has her hand up on the Adobe Connect.
I'm sorry, I did not see that. I haven't looked at the Adobe Connect. I'm now able to actually use Adobe Connect, but I'm not in the habit of looking at it, so I apologize. Do I need to do something to Maria, can you go ahead? Can you hear me? Or I should say, are you talking?
Hi there. Yes, I'm talking. I think you... Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Please, go ahead. Except now I don't hear you. I heard you for a moment, but now I don't hear anything. You were there, and then you were gone. Ah, we've lost you, Maria.
Almost.
I heard a voice.
Right.
I have the sense that someone is trying to speak, but it is not coming through.
We can so almost hear you, Maria.
I was beginning to think in cyberspace no one can hear you scream.
No, I heard you that time. But now I don't hear anything again.
Oh, okay. Weird. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Continue.
Okay.
You want to just type your comment into the chat, maybe? Although I heard a giggle.
I can hear someone's keyboard. Is that your keyboard, Maria?
Maria, just try just speaking.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say my connection is too bad, so don't worry. I will type instead.
Okay, but I just heard you that time. Okay, it looks like she's suggesting we move on in the chat. Okay, well, if you've got a comment, please add it to the chat at the very least. The only other issue on our agenda here, or on the council's agenda, I should say, is not a motion, but update and discussion on the issue of a...
Oh, this is bizarre. It's on a 5-minute delay. Hi, I'm speaking now, but I think it's on a delay of a minute or two.
A delay of a minute. just go ahead. Take your time. We're ahead of schedule this morning. Okay, I guess she's suggesting we move on. Okay. Okay, so again, the other issue on the council's agenda is a discussion item on the report on user experience implications of active variant TLDs and IDN letter to the board. Okay, and I think, again, this is not a... motion, it is a discussion item. And as I look at the council's agenda, let's see what further details they provide on this. Okay, it says, during its meeting in Beijing, the ICANN board requested that by the 1st of July, interested supporting organizations and advisory committees provide staff with any input and guidance they may have to be factored into implementation of recommendations from the report on user experience implications of active variant TLDs. The report on user experience implications of active variant TLDs examines potential challenges from a user experience perspective when variants of IDN TLDs are activated and offers recommendations to users to minimize risks and optimize the implementation. Ideally, input is requested on which recommendations, if any, are prerequisites to the delegated IDN variant TLDs, which recommendations, if any, can be deferred until a later time, and which recommendations, if any, require additional policy work by the ICANN community and should be referred to the relevant stakeholder group for further policy work. Furthermore, it was suggested that the GNSO Council should send a letter to the board highlighting the importance of IDN-related issues. And then there was a first draft that was sent to the GNSO mailing list.
Has anyone looked carefully at the variant issues?
No, I haven't.
Or looked sloppily at them even?
I have not. I'm not aware of anyone who has either.
Okay. So I've skimmed the reports and talked to some people in Beijing, and my short summary is it's a mess, and that there's lots of real reason to be concerned that users will encounter a mishmash of domain resolutions and confusion when if IDNs launch with varied interpretation of the variants. But beyond that, I don't have a sense of specific recommendations or whether the recommendation should be slow down and fix these things or implement some fixes along the way, and it would be great to have people looking at those things more closely.
Yeah, I mean, especially since it looks like they're requesting stakeholder input on these issues. So I wonder if we should see if we can find some volunteers to look at these in some detail and really give it some thought and provide some feedback. Any idea of what kind of a time frame this would be on?
And just to highlight, one of the things that disturbed me most in Beijing was hearing approximately the only concerns raised about variants were the trademark clearinghouse. Can the trademark clearinghouse accept variants? Which seemed to be sort of the least relevant issue as compared to will users be expecting one site and just get different behavior based on which registry they're using and which language and character set.
Yeah, especially since it's a report on the user experience. You'd think that could be the focus. All right, so it sounds like we're going to need some volunteers to really look at this report and come up with some recommendations in detail. Anyone on this call want to volunteer for this? Or? Okay, not hearing too many volunteers. We can take it to the mailing list. See if we can find some volunteers.
Hello, do you hear me? It's Rudy here?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, finally. I had some similar problems as Maria had. What is the time frame for the report on this?
The time frame on the report on providing the input, I don't think we know this yet, but it sounds like we should know after Thursday, since Thursday this is an issue that the council will go over. It's a 20-minute discussion item for them on Thursday. So I think we'll know more on the time frame on Thursday.
But eventually I'm willing to jump onto this one.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, consider yourself drafted. Thanks a lot. Okay, so then the other issue we need to go over is making sure we've got all of our counselors lined up for Thursday's meeting. And so far I've only heard of one counselor who won't be able to attend Thursday's meeting, and that's Wendy, and she's already given her proxy to Joy. And so Joy is prepared to handle Wendy's proxy. Is there any other counselor? It's kind of hard because I don't think we have any other counselors on the line today. So again, we can take it to the mailing list. Any other counselors need a proxy or have an issue with their attendance on Thursday's meeting? Okay, I don't hear anything. All right, so those were all the issues on our agenda, and we've gone through them much under our time. So is there any other business anyone wanted to add?
Hey, Robin.
Okay.
It's Mary again.
Yes. Please, go ahead.
I was going to raise, because it's AOB, the APRT 2 questions.
Yes.
That's a very long survey. Regardless of whether we put in comments to the public comment request, which I'm going to try and do this weekend if I can, I think that the team really wants to see responses, and I think it's particularly important that even if we don't do it as a constituency or stakeholder group, the individual members try to respond to at least some of the questions.
Yes.
Mailing list too. Yeah, if you could put a call out to the mailing list to let people know that that exists. Because we've had some good comments from individual members like Andrew and others to public comments as well as to other requests. So that may be a good way for members to give feedback too.
Right, that's right. Yes, no, we did mention this earlier, but it is definitely worth mentioning again now, and I will, thanks for the reminder, put a call out to the mailing list to encourage individual members to send something in on this, because I said this before and I'm going to say it again. This is a really important process for ICANN as an organization, having accountability and transparency and good governance practices. So it will apply to every single issue that we care about. So I think this is a really important issue for our members to weigh in on, individually, collectively, just weigh in.
I was wondering if there's been any plans, this is Dee Dee, any outreach to press about this. It just seems to me that this is an issue that would have interest, not just for the ICANN community, but also the whole issue around multi-stakeholder governance, and I just wondered what the plans are for some kind of press release.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Press interest on ATRT. You know, for some reason, the mainstream media just doesn't seem to care about ICANN issues, or at least it's very difficult to get them interested about this arcane California corporation that handles internet governance, domain name policy issues. But I think that you know, once it's explained to them, and once you can stop and talk to them for a few minutes, they do understand and see how it is important. But it is so difficult getting the press interested in to follow ICANN, and I haven't seen any reports whatsoever about the current ATRT process. And you know, I can say we haven't had any strategy for contacting the press on that, but it's definitely worth doing. Do you have some press contacts? Would you be willing to sort of help us out with getting in touch with some press members and seeing if we can drum up their interest in following ICANN on this?
I'll try to send you some ideas. I don't know that I didn't go to the Free Press conference that was held in Colorado this year, but I know, and I know they did not cover this. It seems like maybe the next time there is one of the Free Press conferences, there should be a panel on looking at internet governance and certainly ICANN issues within that context. And a lot of press comes to that conference, so the press that are interested in technical media issues, internet issues, would be coming there. So that it's a long-term strategy, I think, but it seems to me it is tremendously important to really look at the whole issue of multi-stakeholder governance.
Yes, and I mean, it is something that is only going to continue to grow in terms of being more important and bigger of an issue. We've got, you know, the ITU sort of thumping on its chest, and these different governance institutions are in some ways competing with each other, and it is only going to become bigger of an issue going forward. And it would be great if we could help steer how the press report on this and think about this. I think it's worth, you know, really putting some time and energy into finding some people who would be willing to help us come up with some kind of press strategy and PR strategy for these kinds of issues.
Okay.
Was there anything else anyone wanted to add? I see in the chat Timothy Litt raised the issue of who should file a statement of interest, and that was an issue that we had discussed on the discussion mailing list. And so sure, we can raise it here as well. Really, I think the question comes down to at what level of participation should one file a statement of interest to participate? And again, we haven't really had any kind of firm, hard and fast sort of rules other than, you know, if you're running for office, it's a mandatory filing. If you're on council, if you're going to substitute for council, if you join any of the working groups or the drafting teams, you have to file statements of interest. But these, again, are GNSO-wide or even ICANN-wide policy-making working groups. And so I think the question is, if when we're just us in NCSG, at what level of participation should we expect others and ourselves to file a statement of interest? And so my personal opinion is those who want to participate and actually affect the outcome of statements, and if you want to advocate for policy positions in NCSG statements, if you want NCSG to take a particular policy view, I think it's appropriate that you file a statement of interest. That's my view, and I think I would love to hear what others think, and maybe as Timothy suggests, we should nail this down into some kind of a harder, faster rule. And it's a discussion worth having, and he suggested we have it. So I'd love to hear what others think on the subject. Timothy, since it was a topic that you wanted raised, maybe you've got some suggestions for how to handle this issue. Did you want to take the floor and maybe raise your suggestions?
Robin, Ruby here. Seems that Timothy is no longer on the list, if I'm not wrong. I don't see his name anymore in the list of participants.
Oh. Okay, so maybe he's dropped from the call. Bummer. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for alerting me to that.
We are only six or seven on the list for the moment.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate, but again, we can take this discussion to the mailing list, and I hope it will continue there. Nonetheless, was there anyone else who had any thoughts on this issue?
I think it's an important question on how to handle the statement of interest. So far, it's not really very clear in when you have to post a statement of interest. Why not?
Do you have a suggestion for clarifying that in some direction? because it just it sounds like that maybe that's what we need to do is we need to find some kind of clarity because people are not sure what is expected of them. You know, they
maybe
may be left like...
Find the criteria.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like Timothy maybe rejoined the room, which would be great because we had just raised this issue, Timothy, about who should file a statement of interest and trying to reach some kind of clarity on that. And so, Timothy, do you have any suggestions, any thoughts on this topic? Yes, you've posted your thoughts to the list. Right, yes, no, that was great for getting us started on this discussion, trying to find some criteria and clarity. Ah, you've got no audio. Okay. Okay, that's okay. Well, I think that we do have an issue, an open issue that we should try to bring some clarity to. And again, my suggestion would be those who are advocating that the stakeholder group take a particular policy position should file a statement of interest. That would be my suggestion for a sort of a high-level starting place, and then we can dig deeper into granularity in terms of how one actually measures that, but I think it's best to try to agree on sort of high-level principles for who should file and who shouldn't file. And that would be my suggestion. And again, I would be happy to hear others' views, similar views, different views. Okay, I see on the chat, Timothy has said, quote, I think it's every member, as even endorsing a position constitutes policymaking. Okay, so that's another suggestion that every member should file a statement of interest as a stakeholder group simply endorsing a view is taking a position. So. Anyone else have any other thoughts on that? Well, why don't we take this suggestion to the mailing list and say, okay, it's been suggested that we should all file these statements of interest. And, you know, frankly, I don't have a problem with that. I think I would like to see us sort of being the leaders in good practices for transparency and, you know, other stakeholder groups. The intellectual property constituency, their position is their membership is secret. They won't even tell you who their members are. So they've got like zero transparency over there. But, you know, we try to do things differently and have a lot more transparency. And so I would certainly not be opposed to asking members to file statements of interest.
I'd be opposed to anything that makes it more difficult for people to participate than it already is. It's already quite difficult.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you know, it comes down to... you know, how would we, how, Would that be saying, you know, nobody can even participate on the mailing list unless they filed a statement of interest? And just in terms of the nuts and bolts of how to enforce that, I don't know. But I think we should give it some thought, and I think there's some real merit, especially since our membership is growing so quickly, that, you know, just trying to manage who we are and making sure that we are all non-commercial users and we aren't, you know, just representing some third party, and because it looks like NCSG, anyone can get in, and it's very easy to get in, and it's very easy to take a position and push things forward. I don't want that to be the perception. I mean, it really has to be a non-commercial interest that we are putting
have
forth.
Have we actually had a problem anyplace? I'm sorry.
I think they're
half listened to the conversation, but.
There have been some questions. There have been some questions that people have asked about others' participation in representing third parties and their advocacy of policy positions. And, you know, so, yeah, there have been some questions. Okay, so Timothy says in the chat, he says, I think the membership questionnaire is a mini SOI, so expand it and have one thing. The membership questionnaire.
That's helpful to me.
Well, you know, we have to every year have a process for maintaining an active membership and sort of checking in. And if you're, for example, an organizational member, it's an opportunity to change the name of the representative of your organization or change the email address. And before each annual election, we go through this process. Maybe that is a place where people can update their statements of interest. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, brainstorming here off the top of my head, of trying to find a way to encourage people who want to participate to file these while not making it burdensome, because we don't want more barriers to participation, but we do want to make sure that we are, in fact, representing non-commercial interests and that we know who we represent. Any other thoughts on this? I mean, I don't think we're going to come to any resolution today, but it's a good beginning for a conversation. And we can take it to the mailing list and then continue going forward. And Timothy suggests rereading his comments on the mailing list. He's got some suggestions for integrating it with the statement of interest and also the enforcement. So great. I'm really glad you've given this some thought, and we'll continue this discussion. Any other thoughts on this or any other issue? Okay, not hearing any, I guess we can call this meeting to a close, and we're half an hour early. Great. All right, well, thank you all for participating and for joining on the line and on the Adobe, and we will continue this conversation on the email list. Thank you. Bye-bye.